Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. And I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. We do have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Tom in Harwington next. What's going on, Tom?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I want to ask you a question. It's probably the dumbest question you're going to get asked this month, but, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't think the government's trying to spy on me, but I'm on an internet bulletin board, and a lot of people there are telling me that the alphabet agencies in the government can turn on the microphone inside my desktop computer anytime they want and listen into what's going on here. Now, I do not have wireless anything in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I got an Ethernet cable connecting the modem to the back of the desktop PC.
Yeah.
I mean, I shut off the microphone in the Chrome browser. Can agencies, you know, governmental agencies, turn on the microphone and spy on people?
Huh. Well.
Maybe.
Yeah. We're going to say maybe.
That's what I thought.
If you think about even your cell phone and just the things you say in general discussions, and all of a sudden they start showing up in your browsing feeds.
Never saw that.
Yeah, I have. I've seen. I mean, these are things that are just shouldn't. I didn't search. I didn't do any searches on them through Google or anything like that. But all of a sudden, you know, I think I was doing a search on. I said something like a purple mattress. It's just like a little foam mattress topper. All of a sudden, it shows up in my browser feed. Now, I didn't do any Google searching on it. I just talked. With other folks about it, and it showed up. So could they turn on your microphone on your computer? It's probably even easier than your cell phone. They would. I mean, it's illegal, right? They're supposed to have all sorts of wiretapping rules. Right. And of course, the bad guys can send all sorts of malicious software to your system that would do that if they wanted to.
Hmm.
So the answer is probably, maybe.
It's possible, but it's not very likely unless they have some reason to actually do it.
Right. As long as you haven't done anything wrong, Tom.
Yeah. Like I said.
And nowadays, just going outside playing baseball with three people is wrong.
Yeah. I said to the people on the internet forum I'm on, I said, if they're going to listen into what's going on here, and I live alone, I said, they're going to have a very boring day, because other than the radio and TV, you know, there's no other voices going on in the house.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't think they're doing that. Of course, you can actually buy things for your laptop that'll cover the camera. Like, you know, they'll slide little things over your camera because people's video has been hacked. So you're turning on the microphone, too, is definitely doable.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a camera on the computer, but if I did, there'd be a piece of masking tape or duct tape over it.
Yep.
Yep.
So
all
I guess we're going to say maybe. All right, Tom.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's one of those things, right? I mean, nowadays, we just talked about Westport, you know, hovering over your head to see if you're 6 feet apart. Sure, the technology exists, right? That's part of the problem. Let's go to Mike in North Haven. What's going on, Mike?
How you guys doing?
Doing okay. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Quick question for you. So, obviously, I'm working from home a little bit more these days.
Yeah.
And trying to, and it's probably going to become a permanent situation. And my laptop's probably about 5-6 years old. I've upgraded a little bit here and there. It still works fine. But being at home, I was just wondering about picking up a new, like a desktop unit, as opposed to a new laptop, because I could probably go purchase a tablet or something like that and get away with what I need to do, you know, with clients, you know, at the homes and stuff like that. But I just wanted to get your opinions on, I mean, you know, am I going to get more, is it going to be faster, more processing speed? Is it going to more stability, you know, through a desktop unit as opposed to a new laptop? Or just some quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, the basic thought is a laptop will not last as long as a desktop. You're going to beat it up, right? You're moving it back and forth. The propensity to drop it is higher. You can get laptops, though, that will perform just as well as PCs, but you're going to spend a lot of money on them. So if you get a good desktop, it'll give you probably 6-7 years of service, whereas a laptop, you're lucky to get 3 to 4.
Okay. Any recommendations on desktops or at least, you know, some manufacturers, you know, just to avoid?
We wouldn't necessarily tell you what to avoid. We like HP. We're HP resellers here for our business clients. So we sell the business line of HP laptops. You could look at their PCs. There are big box stores that sell them. I wouldn't tell you what to avoid. I tell you, looking at an i5 processor, a current generation i5 processor, because you could find even old 7th gen out there, but you're going to miss out on some performance and some quality there. So if you can get 9th gen processing, 8 gigs or more of RAM, good solid-state hard drive. You know, if you can get a 512 or a terabyte solid-state drive, you'll do really well, and it'll give you many years of performance.
Okay. And then one just quick add-on question to that is, with the upcoming launch of 5G, the equipment that's out there now, I mean, does it make sense? Because I know 5G, big launch coming, supposedly starting, you know, Q4 this year into next year. They're all building out the networks. I mean, does it make sense to purchase a new unit now or wait 6-7 months, you know, when they're producing them to be more 5G capable?
Right. So 5G is the same problem that we talk about when it comes to connecting your computer through broadband at home. 5G is great, right? It sounds awesome. But you, as the individual user, are not going to see a video stream any faster. You're not going to see a database any faster. You're not going to see anything any faster. It's just a real fat connection that you're not going to use. The beauty of 5G is the ability for it to service a lot of people, right? So you can benefit by the fact that, you know, if there's 1,000 people in a stadium all online trying to look at the same thing at the same time, that's a nice big fat pipe to do that. But you're not going to browse any faster. You're not going to surf any faster. You're not going to watch your video any faster because it only uses X amount of data, right? So if you get a 4K stream, it's only going to deliver that 4K stream over the pipe that it needs, even if your pipe is a mile wide, right? The promise of 5G is the beauty of how many devices are going to be interconnected. So your car will be talking to the car behind you so that you don't bang into each other, right? The light the stoplight is going to say, hey, this guy's pulling up. There's nobody else here. I'll let him go. So you're going to have a smarter interface with all the devices that we use, but you're not going to have any performance improvements because you can't watch the video any faster, right?
Right. Okay. And, so, and same thing, I'm assuming, with laptops for connectability, you know, over Wi-Fi networks that, again, I may be accessing throughout the day.
Right. Each access point is going to be, they have their own 5G networks and 4G networks for their protocols. So yes, you get better performance with a 5G connection, but it's poorer on distance. So the 2.4 gigahertz band is the one that most people will connect to for your laptop. That's different than cellular 5G. 5G stands for fifth generation. 5G in the Wi-Fi world is just a protocol for communicating. It's nice and confusing for everybody. But any newer laptop will have the capability of connecting to a higher speed network, if that makes sense. And you can wait or not wait. You can always add external USB Wi-Fi devices if you ever needed to.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, I appreciate the help. Thanks.
Yeah, good luck.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We will be here until 11 o'clock and do our best to take your computer comments, questions, and concerns. What are you guys doing dealing with this whole COVID mess where you're interfacing with your friends and family? Obviously, Zoom is a way to do it. I kind of gave you the example that we're using that Jackbox TV game with a bunch of folks online through Zoom, and it was kind of interesting experiment. It worked okay. What are you guys doing out there? Are you guys playing any games? Are you playing virtual poker? I don't know what's out there to get together online with folks virtually. The new way of living for hopefully a short time because it's getting to wear on me. I don't know about you. We're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. My wife had to go out and fend for herself. She had to find some toilet paper. I cannot believe that's still a problem. April 25th, right? Yeah, all the days seem the same. April 25th, you still can't find toilet paper when you need it. She was online last night, just looking through her Facebook feed. Oh, there's toilet paper at Target. And she goes, hops in the car, runs out there. There wasn't any. So she had to get in line this morning. Fend for herself. It was almost like the old the deals for Christmas, right? What are those deals? And you run out there and try to get the flat screen TVs.
And they're all gone?
Well, they're all gone, but you're all fighting each other to get the toilet paper. I mean, can we spare a square? I mean, this is crazy. I don't understand what you guys are doing hoarding it all. Just take what you need for your family and call it a day. Why would you hoard it? I don't know.
Leave some for the next guy. They might get desperate.
Yeah, it's not good. Well, let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Unionville and Jim. What's going on, Jim?
Good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm having a problem with our Wi-Fi and connectivity in the house.
Yep.
The Wi-Fi router and the modem are probably no more than 2 years old. I have Xfinity, and I have a good connection. I've tested it. I mean, I'm getting the speeds that they say I should be getting.
Yep.
It's just the coverage area. The house isn't that big. It's two stories, but it's not that big. I put the router and everything on top of an armoire in like the middle room where is like our living room.
Nice. So perfect spot.
Yeah. Close to the ceiling. And I figured, you know, she's upstairs in her little office and I'm downstairs. But sometimes if we go literally just 15, 20 feet more into the kitchen, you know, the connectivity to, say, a TV or an Amazon stick or something, it says it's fair and it doesn't look like it's that good. So
right.
I guess my question is over time, is that possible that the signal kind of degrades, or, you know, is something in the works for me, like as a Wi-Fi extender that I could plug in and just take that signal and boost it, or a booster or something somehow?
Yeah, the first step is to know what signal you're connecting to. So,
right, there are two.
Is it a 5G or a 2.4G we're talking about? And if you haven't labeled them separately to know the difference, if you've labeled them the same SSID, your device might be picking up the 5G, which is only going to give you a shorter throw, higher speeds, but a shorter throw versus the 2.4. So that's your first thing.
Labeled. Yeah, okay. I do, and I do see that. You're absolutely right. I see the 5G is the range is even shorter, so we're basically it's just the two of us home, so we're connecting to the other one.
All right, so you're connecting to 2.4, not the 5.
Correct.
All right.
So, what is your house built from? So, if you're going between a wall that's drywall, it might get through that okay.
Yeah.
But if it's you got a brick wall somewhere, it's not going to go through that.
Yeah, and it's a much older home built in the 1800s, but most of it's been restored. So I'd say 90%, 95% is just basic drywall with insulation. There's a few rooms that still have the plaster lath, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to go through the plaster.
Okay.
So getting around the corner is going to be difficult.
So then in that case, there's two options here. Is the equipment from Xfinity or is it your own?
No, I went out and bought my own, a Linksys and an Aeris.
Okay. So you're not paying for that cost there. That's good. You can get an extender if you wanted to. There are extenders that are out there. I would try to stick with the same brand that kind of matches up with your router. It might work better for you. You can also get a hardwired connection where you kind of connect. It's like a dongle on one end that connects to the router and goes through your power lines over to another device that converts it back to a Cat 5 connection. So it extends the distance through your power cords within the walls.
The wiring in your walls.
Yeah, that can work well for you too.
With no interference from the actual power.
Technically, no. You know, it's not supposed to have any interference. It works.
Oh, okay.
So you can do extenders, or maybe your Linksys device is just not that good in the first place. So I did some research, and you'll find different devices will put out different radio powers, and maybe you've just got a bad one, right? The radio can die or not produce a good signal, and let's say the device is like under $100 or something like that, it might just not be powerful enough. And
how you orient the antennas makes a difference too.
Right.
Yeah, when we purchased it, I did purchase a higher end one. It was a couple hundred dollars plus a couple years ago.
Okay.
I didn't want to skimp on that because that was one of the big things. You know, we go out in the yard, and I thought at that time maybe we'd reach there if I got a better unit.
Yep.
But it definitely doesn't. So that's why I was thinking the extenders, and I do see that the companies make them where you just plug them in the wall and they take the signal you have now and then just kind of rebroadcast it. And I haven't heard of what you're talking about over the wire line where you could actually plug it in, but does that give you better speeds or is it pretty much the same, just a different way to do the same thing?
It'll be pretty much the same, just a different way to do it. I would also tell you to update the firmware on your router. There might be an update that could improve your performance. Do you know how to do the firmware update?
I don't, but I will look into that. I'm writing that down.
Yeah, so you want to log into your IP address of your router, 192.168.1.1, from a browser is probably your IP address to get to it. And then you want to log in with, hopefully you created a password, and you're going to go ahead and do a firmware update. First check to see if there's a firmware update you can do. And then if there is, do it. And while you're in there, configure OpenDNS. Have you done that?
Now you're talking another language to me. I know some of the basic stuff to get me a little bit in trouble, but here I would be, no.
We have links. Our live links aren't working this morning, but we've had links, and we'll put links up there through our Facebook page to talk about how to configure OpenDNS on your router. If you're going to be in there anyways and doing firmware updates, you may as well configure OpenDNS, which is going to be a safer way for you and your wife to surf the internet. It's also much faster. So definitely recommend doing it while you're in there. You don't have to, but do the firmware update if it exists. You probably haven't done it.
Yeah, I haven't updated anything. I've just been using it, so that's probably a good start right there.
Yep.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help, guys, and I'll try to do that and maybe look into an extender.
Good luck, Jim.
All right, thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I put up a link for Powerline, IP over your power line.
Right.
So that you can see how that works and maybe put that in your house. The price range is anywhere from like $40 to $100 or more.
Yep. I would think power companies, could be internet providers. Just another competitor. I mean, it would be nice to, you know, give CLNP Eversource some more money, wouldn't it? But the point is, it'd be great if they actually had another offer to provide us, and that would lower the cost of broadband internet if they were able to broadcast the internet over their power lines, because that was something we talked about 15 years ago as being out there and capable of happening. Feel free to get online, guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about today has been posted live over to our Facebook page, because our Live Links page is down. We did a migration of our website on Friday, and there's a few things that didn't come up the way we had hoped to. So if you go over to Tab Computer Systems Facebook page, the news will be posted there for you live. Also, we're streaming live still. I think this is our fourth stream now. They're all running together as far as these days. I don't know what day it is. And if you put a comment in there as far as where you're listening from, or even if you have a question or what have you, feel free to put it in there. We are keeping an eye on the comments. And you can, of course, share the stream from WTIC's Facebook page. And then Mark Zuckerberg will go, oh, wow, I think we should let other people see this thing. And Mark's got a little dial in his house. You know, he's sitting there in his sweatpants like the rest of us, and he's turning up the dial, right? If you guys share it out, or if you put a comment in there, maybe Mr. Zuckerberg will share it with everybody else. And we talked about some of the things that are out there as far as, you know, COVID Cast from Carnegie Mellon. If you want to check out that, it's kind of a neat site where you're looking at information from Facebook, Google, where people actually volunteered the information. I did one for Facebook, so my data is in there, and you can actually see by a state, by metro area, by county. You can see 7-day trends, and you know, the key in this whole thing is going to be data, and the question will be where the good data is, and what models we're using to make the decisions we're making. So it's going to be an interesting next few weeks. We'll see what happens. We're going to step out for a quick break. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to our resident groupie, Danny. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, hi, guys. I talked to you about that getting a Chromebook last week, and I forgot to ask you, is it secure if it's communicating with the Internet on Wi-Fi, or can Chromebooks hook up with a hardwire?
If they have an Ethernet port, they can, but most of them are going to be wireless.
Oh, they are.
They're just
be
as secure. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And with those, you always talk about the plastic case or a metal case. Is that the situation with those two? You want to get a metal case?
Get a metal case. They're going to last a lot longer if they have a metal shell.
Mm-hmm. And processors, or they're all about the same as far as the processors in them?
Nope, they're all different. Same thing. So i5 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, solid state drive. All those specs are the same.
Mm-hmm. i5 8 gig.
Yeah, 8 gig minimum, and then you're going to have your solid state drive.
Solid state. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see the video of the Starlink satellites, where one orbit of satellites is crisscrossing the other?
No.
Oh my God! It's so beautiful. the shot from the lower left-hand side of the screen, you know, one train comes across going toward the upper right, and then from the upper left, another band comes from the upper left down across to the nice. Lower right, and they crisscross as they're going through the sky.
That's pretty cool. I did see Elon take down CNN.
Oh, yeah? What'd he do?
Well, basically, he was donating ventilators, and CNN was acting like the data they weren't. He wasn't doing it, and then of course he had to show all the thank you posts on his Twitter from all the hospitals where they received the ventilators.
Oh, okay.
He was going back and forth to CNN saying, "Don't you guys do any research?"
Yeah. All right. And they're going to start private beta testing in 3 months with the Starlink.
Are they?
Right. Yeah. And in 6 months public beta. I'm trying to get signed up for that because it's going to just start out in the northern latitudes and would be under the coverage.
We would be?
Yeah, for the early testing. because what, the way the orbits loop, there's going to be a concentration even with fewer satellites.
Mm-hmm. You're probably going to need a device to connect to it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get the saucer, the flying saucer.
Is that what it's called?
Well, yeah, that's what they call it. It's an antenna. You push it in the yard, and yeah. It's got all, it inclinates itself. It's all automated. It's all self-adjusted and everything.
So how big is it? Is it about the size
about
of a...
It's about 3 feet. And it looks like a flying saucer from an old 1950s sci-fi movie.
That's what he likes to do with everything. It's his rocket looks the same way. What's up with him?
Yeah, retro. Everything's retro. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Danny. Thank you. We're going to go on to Tom in Florida next. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, on my laptop, I got icons on the desktop screen.
Yeah.
And periodically, they disappear. And when it first happened, first couple of times, I thought, oh, it was a minor foul, wasn't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't panic over it. Then all of a sudden, I had some other things that I used. But when I looked on File Manager, and I go to the desktop page in File Manager, they're listed there. But the icon is gone.
And this is Windows 10 or Windows 7?
Windows 10.
Hmm. All right,
and
what do you
got? You know, if I drag and copy it from the... from the File Manager page to desktop, I get an icon that says copy. I want an icon that doesn't say copy, I copy it into a folder that's on a desktop and then move it from the folder onto the desktop and I get it back. But, you know, it's not a major problem. I'm just wondering what the heck's going on, because one of these days I don't know if I'm going to lose it or not.
Are you getting the taskbar? Is that disappearing as well?
No. Oh.
Okay.
It looks to me like it's your icon cache. You got corrupt cache. Your icon cache is corrupted, and Microsoft has a way for you to rebuild the icon cache, or you have a virus that's causing the corruption. So do you have good antivirus on your computer, Tom?
Well, I had open DNS on it, and
that's not an antivirus
program. While you were on your break there for the news, I noticed it says today, and I've never seen this before, it says your authorization token is invalid. What does that mean?
Well, OpenDNS is not an antivirus program. OpenDNS is a way to surf the internet more safely, but it's not antivirus.
Right.
So
it's
based on, and you log in as Tom from Florida, right? You then have to run the little IP updater that says, here are Tom's preferences. And maybe you have lost the IP updater or the IP has changed, but OpenDNS is not antivirus. So you want to get a good antivirus program like Webroot.
Yeah, well, I periodically do run Malwarebytes, and then I got the Windows Defender, you know, which I know you're not crazy about, but...
No, that's like the fox guard in the hen house. We can put a link here, though, as far as how you try to rebuild your icon cache.
Okay.
Which I didn't know was a thing until just now. But we'll put a link up as to how to rebuild the icon cache. Now, it's not going to be on our Computer Talk site. It's going to be over on the Facebook page, because our Computer Talk with Tab site is not doing the links.
All right. But I got a problem, and I'm not on Facebook. I guess I got to sign up for Facebook.
I don't want to do that to you, Tom. If you can, I mean, we're going to fix it. We'll be fixing it over this next few days of the week, so we'll get it back going. But you can run a system file checker. That's part of my Microsoft's basics, right, Bob? How do you run the system file checker?
You got to open a command prompt and run as administrator, and then you got to type in SFC /scan now.
All right, that's going to change your system files. Does your system file S as in Sam file C SFC. System file checker. That might correct the corruption that's in your icon cache.
Well, I put up a link that does a better job. It has a better description.
Okay.
It says navigate to C users, username, app data, local.
Mm-hmm.
Right click on iconcache.db and click on delete. Click yes to confirm.
You can delete your icon cache completely?
It says close the window, empty the recycle bin, restart the computer, and it'll rebuild it.
It'll rebuild the cache. That'll work, too. That's even easier.
Hmm. All right. Okay.
Got some things to try here, Tom.
Yeah, I'll get someone to help me.
I hear you, but there's some corruption going on in your cache.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often, but every once in a while it does, and I'm just wondering what the deal was with that.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be.
Do you think if I just don't do anything, I'll ever lose any of them files, or I'll just go to File Manager? Would that be okay or not?
Man, you're like every guy, you know? Whatever. Yeah. If I just ignore it, will it go away? You know, that little pain I got in my side here, that go away after time? No, it doesn't go away. It probably will just get worse.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I got some notes here, so when I get somebody in the know, I can tell them what you said.
All right, sir. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, and we've got Jeff and Ron on the line. A couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will come in and give you a second opinion on your health advice with Healthy Rounds. Let's get right to your calls, though. You were nice enough to join us on this very nice Saturday morning. But then again, you guys, nobody has anything else to do. So, but thankfully, you chose us. Let's go to Jeff in Granby. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Doing okay. How are you?
Good, good. I'm replacing a lot of our workstations that have Windows 7 on it. I'm replacing them with new Dell Optiplex computers with Windows 10 Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I replaced them, I keep getting a lot of pop-ups, and I think they're all Dell updates. And also I'm getting the firewalls are getting turned on, and it loses connection with the server.
Mm-hmm.
So is it okay to remove all these Dell apps that are on the computer? Like I've got Dell Command, Dell mm-hmm. Digital Delivery, Dell Support Assist,
mm-hmm.
Dell Update, Dell Watchdog.
Yeah.
Is it okay to remove all these things?
So it all depends on your point of view. So Tab has been building machines for our business clients for 25 years. It's because of all the junk that these other mail order companies throw on the systems that we build our own machines. Ours go out nice and clean with just the operating system. However, without knowing exactly what all those tools are doing for you, you might find yourself less secure by turning them off. What do you think, Bob?
Yeah, I don't think you should uninstall them. But these pop-ups you're getting really are not pop-ups. They're notifications. You get notifications from your email. You get notifications from applications that are running. You know, if you're doing instant messages, you'll get a notification for that. If you have Google Chrome, you're going to get notifications for every website that you go to practically and all of the advertising that they have. So in Chrome, you can go in and turn off notifications. But you got to go in Windows 10, you got to go and find out where the notifications are coming from and disable them. And then you'll get less of them because it opens up that little notification in the lower right-hand side that has the little arrow for you to get away. And I work down in that area, so it comes up and takes focus away and then irritates me a lot.
So you can turn them off. So, however, though, again, if you're not sure what kind of tools they provided you, you might find yourself a little more vulnerable. But it is annoying, I hear you. Go ahead.
Do I really need Dell updates and Microsoft
updates? Yes and no, right? So Microsoft updates are for the operating system. The Dell updates are for the drivers for the hardware. So Dell's going to say, okay, my video card has got a problem, or my motherboard needs an update, or my USB port isn't working so well. So they'll apply these fixes. You'll do firmware updates on the hardware, so it's the hardware layer. If you want to manage all that yourself, you can turn it off, which a lot of people do, right? The noise that comes from these companies is ridiculous sometimes, and sometimes the fix is worse than the problem because everything was working fine, then they do an update, and all of a sudden something doesn't work anymore. So you could turn them off and then make sure you do them on your own at your own intervals. But you need to update.
Dell updates are important, though.
They could be important.
Yeah.
If they've got a big problem with their hard drive controller, let's say, and you don't update the driver, then you could have problems.
Okay. And one other thing. Microsoft OneDrive. Can I disable that? Do I need that?
You can disable it.
Okay.
When it's down in your system tray, if you right-click on it, and then you choose Settings.
Uh-huh.
Over on the right side, there's three tabs that'll come up near the top. of this window. Then you uncheck to start it when Windows starts up, and there's two other check boxes underneath that. You uncheck that, and then you close that. And then you right-click on it again, and it'll come up, and there's a little thing that says Close OneDrive. So once you do that, it won't open up anymore when you log in. So if you have more than one person that uses the same computer, you got to do that for every one of them.
Every user.
Okay, you can't just remove it in the uninstall program section?
I think you can, but Microsoft likes to build them in, and they typically come back when you do an update.
So if you turn it off, you might have better luck. I don't blame you for wanting to turn off that that cloud drive, especially if you've got data that you don't want to have leak out of your company.
Right. And, you know, Microsoft, they keep trying to turn on the firewalls, too, on all these workstations, too. But can't you stop that from happening?
Yeah. You can turn the firewall off on the each workstation. That's not a problem. They shouldn't force it to come back on. It could come back with a warning that you don't have a firewall on, but it's not unusual to not have a firewall running on your individual PC because you have a network firewall, correct?
Right. So they shouldn't. Microsoft shouldn't be able to turn them on. Just recommend turning them on.
They should be recommending it and warning it. I wouldn't put it past them to turn it on. If you reboot and they do an update on Windows 10, they could easily turn it back on again.
Certain updates will turn it back on.
Yeah, it's annoying. But okay, guys, appreciate the advice. Great show.
Thanks. Good luck.
You take care.
Yeah, you too. Speaking of your data in the cloud, I had a friend of mine who had some of his pictures put out on the cloud through Apple, and he wasn't too happy with the fact that these things were out on the cloud and other folks were having access to it within his family. And, you know, you got to be careful as far as what's out there. When you're connected to the cloud, you need to be sure what you're connecting to it and what's going out there. So for a lot of our aerospace clients, they have to be aware of the fact that OneDrive is sitting on all their individual PCs. So what do you have to do to make sure that the plans for the F-35 don't get out into the cloud and have China hack it to get in? You block OneDrive, right? So again, it comes back down to knowing that the more connected you are and where you're putting your data is really where you have to pay attention these days. Just doing everything and syncing everything and having it out there just means more potential breaches and leaks. So keep that in mind. Let's go to Ron in Waterbury next. What's going on, Ron?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm looking to upgrade my cell phone.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the iPhone 11 Pro and the Samsung 20S Plus. I've been told about regarding Apple's iPhone that the technology in the phone is less likely that when you're on the internet or on using your email that you'll get hacked. How true is that compared to the technology in the Samsung?
So I was going to bring up a story today about Apple and their email systems being hacked. They have a pretty big patch that's going on right now where that's occurred. And I didn't bring it up in the news only because it's just a little too granular. But the thing is, any system can be hacked or can be affected. Both Apple and Android have their issues. Now, Apple's always marketed that they seem to be more secure, but the more and more time continues to go on, the more they're found to have their own issues as well.
Right.
I wouldn't leverage it based on that side of the equation.
So as they say, believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see.
As with everything, right? I mean, you got to be a little cynical.
So that being said, if I decide on the iPhone or even the Samsung, what type of antivirus software should I put on either of these phones?
Both of them have access to antivirus. ESET is what we've been recommending for. I think both would work on both the iPhone and the Android, and I think it's free.
Okay, ESET, the letter E and then S-E-T?
Yes.
Okay, and ESET.com to get
it ordered. It's an app. You'll be able to go onto either store, whichever one you choose, and download it.
Okay.
But again, for a phone, it's less of a thing than it would be for a workstation or a computer.
Okay.
Okay. But all of them have their vulnerabilities.
Sure. And is there anything else I should add on for protection other than this ESET app?
No, I wouldn't go anywhere beyond that. Okay. That should be plenty. It's just now a matter of which piece of hardware you're going to choose. And the latest iPhone, from what I've heard, is pretty powerful. And they've lowered the price a bit, too.
Yeah, the iPhone, yeah. Now, they had an issue with the batteries. You brought it up on your show. Where they
oh,
were
sure.
Now, is the battery now in the new iPhone, is it changeable? Or
I don't know.
Phone is only as good as the battery that's in there. So once it dies, you need a new phone.
I don't know. You have to check on each model. It's changed constantly as far as what these companies do. Do you know, Bob, if it's changeable?
I don't know.
No, he doesn't know either. So check to see if they're replaceable. The bigger issue is space.
Okay.
That
brings me to the next question. On the iPhone, the choice is 64 gigabytes or 256 in the price range that I want to spend. Now, you probably know the SanDisk offers a compatible flash drive for the iPhone, but the Samsung starts out at 128 gigabytes and is expandable to 512, I assume, using a memory card?
Same idea, yep.
Okay, so if I decide to go with the iPhone, is there any real reason why I should buy more than 64 gigabytes, seeing that any more memory that I need, I could just store on a flash drive.
As long as you're able to do it, right? Because a lot of folks have trouble understanding where to stick their data on the iPhone, and it ends up in the cloud, and then all of a sudden Apple's asking you for more money to store it up there.
The cloud, I have no interest in going on the cloud. That's why I wanted to...
Then get the bigger local storage.
Get the bigger
local storage. Get the 256. That's what I would do.
256, and then if I need more, just supplement it with the flash drive.
Yep, if that's possible on that model, yep.
Yeah, and how familiar are you with the Samsung and the newer models?
I'm not, and we're running out of time, unfortunately, so I'm not going to be able to help you with much more. All right, sir?
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, have a good day.
You too, Ryan. Good luck. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over on Facebook. I want to thank Matt for producing back in the studio back there in Farmington. And we want to thank you for listening here from the Tab Computer Systems hermetically sealed studio here in lovely East Hartford.
You'll see us next week.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.